Hey, everybody. What you're about to hear is a free preview of a podcast on our $5 exclusive episodes tier at patreon.com/retronauts. And if you want to hear the whole thing, please go to patreon.com/retronauts and sign up at the $5 exclusive episodes tier. Once you do that, you'll get access to all of our previous exclusive episodes and our future ones as well, as long as you remain a patron, and our exclusive episodes will launch every other Friday. Again, that is the Retronauts Patreon at patreon.com/retronauts, and I'll let you get to this free preview of one of our exclusive episodes. Square's games were never pretty until maybe around Secret of Mana, but that's because it was developed as a CD-ROM project. And I think based on that, they thought, hey, we should devote more, you know, assets to graphics because we can make really good-looking games. So from that point, it was a big turning point. But this feels stuck still in that Final Fantasy IV and V in terms of how the graphics are depicted and just how squat and tiny everything is.
Yeah, I will say that Togita said at a recent event that because cartridges were getting bigger, they did feel like they could fit more palettes into the cartridge. So they use that as an opportunity to make so many different settings.
Right.
Right. So that, you know, you've got your medieval tile set, you've got your prehistoric tile set. The overworld sprites have the kind of same pixel dimensions as FF4. But I will say that the environments are really colorful. Hmm. Like there's a lot going on screen, despite it being kind of simple. Like I find if not the design of the tiles super appealing, I like anytime you're in a town, or especially when you're around NPCs, like all the NPCs have really bright colors and almost all of them are unique designs. So it's kind of an odd, it's a weird in between.
I think the enemy sprites really stand out in this game because they're very well done, and also they have to draw them from two different angles, which we weren't really getting in Final Fantasy games at all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's true.
And one thing that I thought was really a really nice touch is the playable characters, depending on their HP, they have different sprites. So you've got like your full HP sprite, you have your low HP sprite, and then when you're at critical HP, they're kind of crumpled over a little bit more, and then they have a death sprite. And that was originally, they weren't going to have HP on screen. Like they weren't going to have the actual number of your health or enemy's health or any
that
of your characters.
Awful.
Yeah. And Sakaguchi basically came by and said, don't do that. Not a good idea.
I'm glad he slapped their hands. There are some really interesting forward thinking ideas, but maybe that was a bit too far.
But I like that the holdover from that is that you can still see, you know, your character's status as they're losing health.
And this
reminds me, I hate to say it, but Mystic Quest.
What visually this game does remind me a lot of that game. I wonder if there's some shared talent there. About that, Nadia. I do want to talk about the brain of this game, the man who is really behind everything. I think just the director on every scenario and the director in general is Takashi Tokita. So he is a big wheel at the Square Factory. He was the lead designer of Final Fantasy IV and one of three directors of Chrono Trigger, and he is also behind all of the Square RPGs we'll be talking about today. He really has an interest in this kind of delivery system of the RPG concept, and he's managed to do it quite a few times. I think the first attempt was the best.
I think this really shows God bless those other two directors on Chrono Trigger. he's trying for something, and there's a kernel of something there, but I'm very thankful that the rest of the Chrono Trigger team could rein it in, because boy, he wants this to work.
Yeah, I think he's less interested in RPG design than he is in using the JRPG format to tell a narrative, because his background is he went to school to become a theatrical actor, and that didn't quite work out, or maybe that was just his interest. So he started at Square in the mid-80s, doing a lot of odd jobs like creating graphics and sometimes sound effects, because you could have done really anything at that time, wear a lot of different hats. And then his big role was being the lead designer of Final Fantasy IV, and what he did for that game was really push the narrative. And if you think what other RPGs were doing and just what games were doing, there might be a cinema scene at the beginning or at the end, but Final Fantasy IV was a real pioneer in multiple cinema scenes where the characters move around and it's sort of like you're watching a little play. And it does seem incredibly primitive and cute now, but in 1991, it was mind-blowing. And as a kid back then, seeing Final Fantasy IV when it was new, I was enthralled. It was like I was watching a TV show, and, you know, Mario wasn't doing those things. Zelda wasn't doing those things. And it was a very, very forward-thinking idea to put those cinema scenes in an RPG like that.
Yeah. And I think Live Alive does it as well. But I mean, you get some really great, like the pantomime of it all is really great. And you get such good slapstick with such limited sprites. And people have talked about this kind of storytelling before in games like this. But the fact that Tokita can also like get a lot out of like one of the overworld characters, this tiny little sprite, like just looking slightly down, like a one pixel difference, and he gets so much drama out of it. And I think that he really shows that off in Live Alive.
Yeah, there are very few variations on the sprites in Final Fantasy IV, but they're able to do so much. There's just like a raised hand and a character looking down. That's basically all of the actions that are available for any actor in the game.
There's the turning at the right time even to look, at, look at each other. There's a lot of like really nice theatrics in that game, even though, again, they look primitive by today's standards, but they're important.
And Tokita had a pretty varied career. So he directed things like Parasite Eve, Chocobo Racing, and was a co-director of The Bouncer. And The Bouncer does feel in his wheelhouse because it is mostly a narrative-based game.
I never played that, but I've heard of the legends.
I've always wanted to play it, and I hope there's just like a weird PC port at some point in the future, or they just throw it onto PS5, because I have half an hour to play The Bouncer. I didn't want to pay $50 for it in 2001. And another series he's behind that we never got in America is the Hanjuku Hero series, which is a series of humorous RTS games. And there's been quite a few of those. And again, I'm sure there are fan translations, but those have never come over here. But I can see he has a flair for humor as well, because so many of these scenarios that I played of Live Alive were surprisingly funny. And I feel like he has a real interest in comedy through games as well.
Absolutely, yeah. There's so much physical comedy. There's so much gross out comedy. Like, it's, he's a weird dude.